Aloha and welcome to Christ Church Uniting in Kailua. Welcome to worship. No matter where you're coming from, some of you are tuning in and we are so grateful for allowing us to come into your home. We are very grateful for those of you that are gathered here in person. And it doesn't really matter how we get to this space, but we are so grateful for this day, for this opportunity to worship. My name is Beth David Ann. I'm a member and elder here at Christ Church Uniting. And for today, I am one of your worship leaders. We are so grateful to welcome back the Reverend Lauren Buck Medeiros to bring our message on this day. When we acknowledge two special observances in the Christian calendar. You're wondering what they are. Well, you're going to find out, because first, we are really excited to celebrate World Communion Sunday. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to reflect on the fact that what we do here, we don't do in isolation. We do it in concert with churches, communities of faith all over the world. It's kind of exciting. So with that, I'm going to light this candle. And to remind us, can I do this and do the candle? I've been fretting about this all morning. Can I do two things? I think so, with God's help. Yay! All right, so we light this candle, and perhaps you're lighting a candle at home as well. And it's such a beautiful symbol for us to remember that God lights a path for us, keeps us on our journey with the brightness of God's love. The other, did you forget? We're observing two things. The other is an observance and acknowledgement today that it is the Feast of St. Francis. And I want to direct your attention, especially to those who are so fortunate to be physically in our worship space today, to this beautiful, beautiful arrangement offered by the Heidel Ohana. Thank you so much. This is indeed St. Francis, but you might not notice there are some wonderfully carved wooden animals up here. So after worship, if you have a chance, come on up. It is such a beautiful honoring of St. Francis, who dedicated his life to give honor to creatures great and small. So this would be a perfect time for us to offer each other that sign of peace. If you're home, you might want to give that peace to yourself, the earth, those around you, perhaps your special furry friends in your world. Yeah. So we are very blessed to have this time together. And as an opening meditation, it seems very appropriate that we would reflect on this very well-known prayer of St. Francis. May these words build a firm foundation in our intentions as we worship together. Join me in prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Loving Creator, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying to our smaller selves that we are born to eternal life, hope, and joy. Amen. And so we begin our worship with music. I invite our singers today, our leaders, Marion and Louise, to join us in the opening song, and that is How Firm a Foundation.
use this one? Can I pull it over here?
All right. Where do I begin? Okay, we were talking about St. Francis and how he loved animals, and I was wishing that I could turn into a dog right now because everybody loves puppies. But I was really wanting to say that we used to have people bring their dogs actually to church because this is a welcoming congregation. But you know what? We can learn so much about that from St. Francis. And actually, I wanted to tell you that a teacher friend of mine has a sign in his room that says, "I want to be the kind of person that my dog thinks I am." And that's kind of a cool thing to think about because our dogs think we're awesome all the time, right? And, you know, it really is wonderful because I think that a lot of people have actually gotten pets during the pandemic because of the love and care that they show us unconditionally. And so, yeah, we that could be a good prayer for us to be the kind of person that St. Francis saw when he looked and observed carefully the animals of the world. You know, the word animal comes from the same root as anima or soul. Look into a dog's eyes sometime and see if you don't kind of see their soul. So thank you, St. Francis. Thank you for reminding us to care for all creatures, great and small. There's actually a story, Keiki, about St. Francis preaching a whole sermon to birds. That's how much he cared for them. He reminded them that God is the one who gave them wings to fly and gave them the skies as a place to fly. And he's telling this to the birds. So I'm so glad we have our birds up here too. So now we're going to hear a song that is called the Prayer of St. Francis. We heard it spoken, and now we're going to hear it sung. See if these words, Keiki, remind us of how we can love God and care for our neighbors, which includes all the animals. I bless you. I bless you, children, wherever you are. Let's hear this beautiful prayer.
There is hatred, let me bring you along.
Our scripture today is a reading from Lamentations 3:19 through 26. Listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This last week, I wrote a note from the chapel to our faculty and staff at Punahou. The pandemic stretches on, and it's continuing to stretch our endurance and our creativity. And with Governor Ige's recent announcement, the finish line for even COVID restrictions seems to be stretching out off into the unknown future. It can be, well, wormwood and gall. You use those words in your everyday conversations, right? Actually, this verse in Lamentations came to mind as I was writing that note, and so I quoted it, because precisely in the midst of wormwood and gall, which even if you don't use those words, you know is nothing exciting or desirable, yes? Precisely in the midst of lament, these beautiful and hope-filled words are spoken. Great is thy faithfulness. Sound familiar, Louise? Great is thy faithfulness. It's from the book of Lamentations. Now, in general, our culture is not comfortable with open expressions of suffering and grief. So Lamentations is a book we kind of tend to skip over. This book giving voice to pain and despair. Lament confronts the God who abandons. Lament confronts the God who was once praised as faithful, but who now appears to be missing in action. Lamentations is so good a book for 2021, is it not? Lament calls upon God to witness the concrete realities of our human suffering. Like some of the women's marches around our country yesterday, lament demands attention to injustice, to suffering which seems avoidable, and pain that dehumanizes. The bitterness of life, our wormwood and gall, is brought to light by lament. You know, in our individualistic culture, we're not very good at performing the lament. We're pretty good at whining and complaining, but not the honest, truth-telling, gut-wrenching of a good lament. And the commercials on our media try to convince us regularly that suffering is largely unnecessary. when a product can be bought, or a technology employed, or some new psychological fad employed. Besides, our suffering can be easily masked in a world with innumerable distractions. Hang on just a minute, I think my phone is telling me I have a Facebook notification. But friends, we know that suffering is real. And there are more and more scientific studies finding that suffering can be exacerbated by its denial. In other words, avoiding or pretending it's not there can make it worse. But I struggle with even that because I don't want to dwell in anger or pain, right? So let's think about this and see what this passage in Lamentations might be able to illuminate for us. You know, just a reminder, Lamentations was written from the perspective of those pitiful few who remained in the destroyed city of Jerusalem after the Babylonians had conquered the beleaguered Jewish army, stole the sacred artifacts from the temple, burned the whole thing down to the ground, and then took the finest citizens into exile in Babylon. Jerusalem, the blessed city of God, had been destroyed. The book of Lamentations begins with these words, "How lonely sits the city that once was full of people." However, smack in the middle of this mournful, poetic wail in the book of Lamentations comes this one bright spot, a passage that seems to be uncharacteristic of the whole rest of the book. In spite of all the terrible circumstances which surround the faithful people of God, in the midst of a recitation of grief, come some of the sweetest words of God's faithfulness, even, or maybe we should say, especially in the midst of pain and suffering. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, whose mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Oh, Lord, you know that one, Kalua? It's another one. It's a good one. "Great is thy faithfulness." It occurs to me on this World Communion Sunday that the Lord's table is a visceral example of God's faithfulness in the midst of suffering. When all seemed lost, and Jesus was about to be abandoned by his closest friends and condemned to die, the amazing grace of God's love conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to God's self, that is what calls out to us. How big is the Lord's table? That's not a question. It's not, "How big is the Lord's table?" It's "How big?" It's exclamation point. How big is the Lord's table? Not just geographically, but spiritually and emotionally as well. So friends, can you indulge me in two stories of God's faithfulness in the midst of suffering? The first one happened in the summer of 2010. You can't answer that because I'm the one with the microphone, so I'm going to tell them anyway. The summer of 2010, I traveled with two rising Punahou seniors to Hiroshima, Japan, to be there on the anniversary of the day our United States dropped a nuclear bomb on that fair city. Let me tell you, August 6th is not an easy day to be an American citizen in the city of Hiroshima. In the same way, it might be hard to be a Japanese citizen visiting our Pearl Harbor on December 7th. So there we were on August 6th in the Peace Park, built at Ground Zero, as thousands of Japanese citizens gathered along with visitors and dignitaries from the world over, when the whole city stopped to remember, to lament, and to recommit themselves wholeheartedly to the cause of peace on earth. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. That was the overwhelming message of that day. It was inspiring. Well, later that day, I had been asked to speak in a chapel service at a girls' school very close to the epicenter. And one of the teachers had whispered to me earlier, asking if I could please address the painful and widely held belief that the bomb was somehow God's punishment. Oh, my heart! What an impossible task. So here is a portion of what I said that day, and you can see it still touches me. I said, "We can all agree that it is not enough to weep for what was lost. It is not even enough to say with our lips that peace is a better way. And we wander down a dangerous path when we dare to explain the tragedies of war or disease or pain as punishments from a loving God. Blaming God can sometimes be an easy way to escape taking responsibility for human choices between good and evil. Where was God on August 6, 1945? I believe God was right here, I said to them, struggling and crying for water and tenderly carrying the dying to a better place. Where is God today? I asked the students and their teachers. I believe that God is right here, inviting us to remember and to cry and to make important choices for our time. How big is the Lord's table that joins Hiroshima, Japan, and Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, inviting us to honest lament and renewed determination to be instruments of peace. Where there is hatred, we can bring love. Where there is injury, pardon. My other story is a lot less emotional, thank goodness. You see, this particular passage in Lamentations never ceases to bring forth memories of one particular January in 1993. I was serving as associate minister at Central Union Church in Honolulu at the time, and that particular January Sunday, my responsibilities in worship were to give the call to worship, and then later in the service, the offertory prayer. This was both for the 8:30 and the 10 o'clock services. No problem. I was all prepared. I had my robe, my white seminary stole. I was really kind of excited about the call to worship that I had written, because in reading what the preaching minister, yes, there were lots of us on staff at the time, what the preaching minister was going to choose for his sermon reminded me of this passage in Lamentations 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. It is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I know the song. Well, the 8:30 service went without a hitch. And between services, I went to the youth room for a youth choir rehearsal right when their Sunday school lesson was pow. And I sat there, my robe and my hymnal laying ready for action by my side, listening to their teacher give a lesson on timing. When to my horror, I heard the strains of the great sanctuary organ playing the processional hymn. Processional? I was supposed to be walking down the aisle on that processional hymn. I grabbed my robe and my stole, and I started the 100-yard dash across the lawn to see if I could beat Niall Hallman, the organist, before she played the last amen to the hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. As I flew in the back door, because I had missed the processional, I threw on my robe, not having time to reach down and mess with the zipper. My hair was coming out of its bun, and there stood the senior minister at the lectern, ready to pinch hit if necessary. He took one look at me as the last verse of the hymn came to a close, and he whispered, I don't think you're ready for this. But I nodded vigorously, and I started up the steps to the lectern. And it was then that I realized that that little slip of paper on which the words of Lamentations 3 were written was somewhere tucked inside my hymnal. Ugh. Now, I had been in the ministry for a good 10 years by that time, so there was absolutely no reason that I couldn't have made something up on the spot, something utterly familiar maybe, like the well-loved phrase from Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. But oh, in those few seconds of panic, I reasoned to myself, I can remember those words from Lamentations without the piece of paper. I know the song. And there I stood, facing hundreds of expectant faces, my robe open, my stole askew, and my mind a complete blank. All I could think of were the words to the song that we had just sung. So here is what came out of my mouth. In the Old Testament book of Leviticus, where did that come from? We read these inspiring words. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. You know, no one in the pews even blinked. And no lightning bolts crashed on my head for quoting Psalms and not Leviticus or Lamentations, which was my intent all along. But I was mortified. I somehow got through the rest of that call to worship, which led into the Lord's Prayer. I guess I should be really grateful that I didn't launch into the Gettysburg Address or something. Let us pray as Jesus taught 87 years. But then it was time for the singing of the Gloria Patri. During this congregational praise response, all the worship leaders would turn to face the altar so that we could join the congregation in singing that mighty and ancient Trinitarian creed, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And as I turned to sing, I was aware that half of my stole was in front of me, which could only mean that the other half was behind, facing the congregation. Oh, when could I sink under the altar in shame? And even now, 28 years later, it still brings back shudders of humiliation. And in the words of Lamentations, and for real, this is Lamentations this time, the thought of my affliction is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. If not bowed down in shame, then certainly with gales of laughter. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, even for bozos like me. God's mercies never come to an end, even in church. They are new every morning. I get lots more chances, and so do you. I had another chance the very next Sunday, and the next, and today. That's good news. Ah, beloveds, in every age, but especially in times like this unending pandemic, in times between pastoral leadership like we are experiencing now at CCU, there are many who find faith difficult to maintain when life is hard. A book like Lamentations is like a calm reminder for us during those times, especially in this unique chapter 3, unique in its song of hope in the midst of pain. So on this World Communion Sunday, even as we try to find joy in imagining communion tables stretched across the world, on tables and on benches and on surfaces of all kinds, we acknowledge that we and many in our world could do with a good, authentic lament right now. So thank God for the hope expressed in the gathering of this community, this physical and virtual space, to be together, to whisper and name our pain, to share our concerns, maybe in the chat, maybe as we walk out of this place, to lift each other always in prayer, not just during the prayer. For the Lord's table is big enough not only to stretch around our world, but to stretch completely around every issue clawing at us. And it is big enough to gather each of us in all our wild diversity of experience to be nourished for the journey ahead, whatever it entails. So, come to the table of grace and come to the table of hope. Amen. As we come to the table of grace and hope, we bring our prayers of lament and thanksgiving. We've received some requests on our email, and I invite you at home to type your requests in the chat, and those of us that are here to have opportunities to share with each other. These are the ones that I know. Virginia Bale, we continue to lift her up. She had a fall. We had an update from Maureen Bates about Andy's successful surgery, and we continue to remember Melissa's friend in continued healing, and I received word that Paul Snipes is now in hospice care. So please join me in prayer. Epule kako. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. We come before you and each other on this World Communion Sunday, and we come just as we are, grateful and grumpy, awake and sleepy, hopeful yet weary, troubled with the world as it is, yet confident in your purpose and your faithfulness and your guidance into a world that can be. a world where we can celebrate the vastness of this, your table, and the abundance of your grace and mercy, no matter what is happening in our lives. May the steadfast love that you pour on us be our example of the love we must humbly receive and also share with one another. So now, in the stillness of these moments, hear our gut-wrenching lament and our fervent prayers for friends and loved ones, those we bring to you for healing, for comfort, for needs that you alone truly understand. Move among us. Be made known to us in the breaking of the bread. Renew our faith in you and in each other as we pray with confidence the words that Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And we come to this table, receive this blessing for World Communion Sunday by poet Jan Richardson. And the table will be wide, and the welcome will be wide, and the arms will open wide to gather us in, and our hearts will open wide to receive, and we will come as children who trust that there is enough. And we will come unhindered and free, and our aching will be met with bread, and our sorrow will be met with wine. And we will open our hands to the feast without shame, and we will turn toward each other without fear. And we will give up our appetite for despair, and we will taste and know the delight, and we will become the bread for the hungering world, and we will become the drink for those who thirst, and the blessing and the blessed will become the blessing and the blessed. And everywhere will be the feast, wherever you are, and whatever elements are in your hand, we are blessed to partake together with the whole world. Come to the table of love. Okay, church, here's a test if you know Lauren. If I say it's time for offering, what do you say? Yay! Come on, gang! If I say it's offering time, what do you say?
Yay!
Yes! Yes! That's right, because there are many ways that we give with a spirit of joy. Online, in the basket, with our service, with our prayers, with our peace offerings in the way of St. Francis, even the gift of our honest lament. So now, to honor each gift, Let us stand as the doxology is quietly played and sung.
This is the point in our worship where we kind of reflect and remind folks to read your emails, but we have a few reminders here today during worship. We are so blessed with our monthly Vespers program. That is coming up this week. It is Friday from 7 to 8. We are blessed to be able to have that ministry continue in these restrictive times. That requires that we go online to Facebook and for our church. And we are so blessed to have a group called Foreign Exchange who will be offering Balkan and Near Eastern folk music. There are many folks in this small group that have performed in other groups here at Christ Church Uniting, but this will be a world premiere of under this name of Foreign Exchange. I'm really excited. It's beautiful music and friends that we've had before. So tune in for that on Friday, this Friday. Acknowledgement of Rachel. Raise your hand for those of you. I'm putting her on the spot. Rachel is our wonderful person that comes up with and receives ideas for fellowship. And also with a virtual gratitude journal, I think the window is narrowing when she's going to accept pictures that you've submitted that identify what you're grateful for. So please check out those opportunities to email Rachel to give ideas for that. We do have a special email for prayer requests, prayers at ccukailua.org. Please use that. And if you've been inspired by this and previous weeks of the beauty that we have here in the sanctuary involving plants and flowers and wonderful objects, you too can be part of that ministry. There is a website to go on to sign up. If that intimidates you, talk to Paul or me or someone and we can sign up for you. We have even had people provide flowers that don't live in this state. No pressure, but, you know, it can be done. It can be done. So please consider that an opportunity to contribute to our worship time. I think that's all we will have for today's announcements. But again, please read your weekly announcement that comes out via email. And we have another song that we are going to enjoy. So those that are leading us, if you can please come up, and we will enjoy our last song together, Let Us Talents and Tongues.
Thank you.
okay, I can't wait till we can like tap our toe and sing along and maybe do a dance. Connie told us we could dance. But now let's join in our responsive benediction, remembering that the prophet Jeremiah wrote the words we repeat to send us forth, saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, plans to give you a future with hope." Amen. Go in peace.